Several years ago, while sorting through some of my granddad's old things, my mum discovered some handwritten letters. It turned out that they were letters that my granddad had sent home whilst fighting in North Africa during 1943. When we read them, we found a detailed account of the events leading up to the fall of the city of Tunis, a fascinating piece of history told firsthand. What made this find even more intriguing was that, according to Mum, my granddad never talked about the war while she was growing up, presumably because the memories were too painful. I'd like to share with you a few extracts from the letters that paint a very vivid picture of life in North Africa during the war.
You've probably heard by now how the big push started on May the 7th, and how the tanks broke through the main lines of defence to let the armoured division race through right into Tunis. It was this squadron that virtually broke through on May the 7th and started the rot that led to the fall of Tunis and to the final defeat of the Germans and Italians. Our division actually bypassed Tunis and carried on the pursuit of the Germans up into the Cap Bon, where we enjoyed ourselves most. After meeting dozens of anti-tank guns, mines and German tanks, it was easy to capture thousands of prisoners who had no ammunition, no food, and most of all no heart to fight anymore. Our anti-tank artillery were marvellous and paved the way for us. Thousands of bombers and fighters flew over all day, until the enemy must have trembled at the sound of an aeroplane engine. I, along with three other fellas, brought in 400 prisoners all on our own, at the same time capturing 14 Italian lorries and three staff cars. I used one of the staff cars myself for quite a few days, and it made me feel like a general. We also captured an Italian colonel, a medical officer, and another captain. The colonel handed over his arms to me personally, and I still have his automatic pistol. Before all this happened, we'd been having a pretty tough time. Jerry put up quite a stiff resistance, and we were being shelled and machine gunned quite regularly. The nearest ones we had were one bomb, which dropped about 20 yards away from us on Good Friday, and the next day mortar shells dropped by the dozens around us. After that, we had bombs dropped amongst our trucks. We set two of them on fire. Then, when our artillery started, everything from the other side seemed to stop, and you can imagine how Jerry must have felt. Our guns were firing over our heads, and it was terrifying even to us. For hours on end, they carried on. Then, as they stopped, our tanks went forward. We cut right through the lines and, as planned, the 1st Division tanks and infantry went through the gap we made, right onto Tunis. It was one of the biggest victories that the British Army has ever won, and I feel quite proud to have been part of it. But now I've had enough. It sounds alright, as I've told you here, but there are other things which I can't tell you that have made me realise the horrors and the gross stupidity of war.
With the letters, we found an account, also written by my granddad, for the Birmingham Mail, dated the 6th of June 1958. It tells the story of how, in April 1943, a lorry in his convoy had caught fire, setting off the ammunition on board, and how an officer had narrowly escaped a second explosion from its trailer, before calmly dusting himself down and just riding away. Coincidentally, Grandad was also involved in another similar incident around the same time, as he goes on to explain in one of the letters.
Since the action started, the lorry's been our home, where we keep all our kit. We'd driven into a cornfield to a derelict tank when suddenly the cab of the lorry burst into flames. There was ammunition and bombs in the lorry, which made the whole cornfield blaze up, and in no time everything was burnt to a cinder. We managed to save our kit off the back of the lorry, but all our washing and shaving kit, our revolvers and rifles were burnt. My tunic was hanging in the cab with my wallet inside, so that went as well, along with my only photograph of you, so I'm asking now for you to send me another. We tried to find out what caused it, and think it must have been an anti-personnel mine in the ground just under the lorry, so we ought to think ourselves lucky to be alive. We've now captured a German lorry to replace the one we lost, and of course, we've painted out the black crosses. I've talked with some of the German prisoners, and they're still as arrogant and cocksure of themselves as ever. The Italians, however, were happy and joyful when taken prisoner, and only seemed interested in the end of the war. The graves and fields and ditches on the roadside and the burnt-out vehicles make you think very deeply, and you can't help wondering whether each fella had a wife or a girl waiting for him at home. Today we've managed to go to Tunis for a trip, but there's very little there now. Like most towns out here, it's been very much bombed and shelled, and the people very hard up for food. Tomorrow the Allies are having a victory march through the city, and we should be there. I expect you'll see it in due course on the newsreel at home. There's a lot of speculation about what will happen to us now that it's over out here. Naturally, we're hoping they'll send us home, but we don't know what to think.
Grandad had a special reason for wanting to make it to the victory parade. His brother was a reporter for the Daily Herald covering the war in North Africa, and he'd been hoping to meet him in Tunis to check he was safe.
You probably by now have heard over the wireless the description of the victory march through Tunis. I managed to get there after all. Actually, I went in hope of meeting my brother, but I found out from another correspondent that he'd left for the Algiers a few days earlier. Anyway, I wrote a note, and this fella promised to give it to my brother when he saw him in the Algiers. The march itself was the most spectacular sight I've seen for years, and I'm glad I didn't miss it. First of all, the mile-long avenue of palm trees was bordered by tanks and guns all down the route, and the artillery fired a round of big guns to signal the start of the march. Then came the Scottish pipe band, and following that, all the French units, the Foreign Legion, Arabs, and French colonials were all there. Then behind them came the USA troops, and after that came the 8th Army with the Scots Guards and the other regiments, and for every contingent there was a terrific cheer. The French people in Tunis went wild with excitement, and I've never seen such a show of patriotism. After the troops had passed, lorries, guns and tanks rolled by, and the squadrons of fighters and bombers roared down the avenue. It was a terrifically hot day, and it was very dry work, but we couldn't get a drink anyway. I wondered whether the parade would be shown at the cinema, or whether you could only hear it on the wireless. When you go to the pictures, look out for me, won't you? Still, I don't suppose you'd recognise me in shorts. Mother tells me she's written to you, so no doubt you'll have heard from her by now. I wish I could have met my brother for her sake, as it would have eased her mind a little. It'll be the happiest moment of my life when we get married, darling, and by then this damn war will be over. I hope they won't keep us inactive out here every day, because it will get on our nerves after all the excitement of fighting. I've just seen the news about the latest raids on Germany. They're certainly laying it on thick and heavy now. Perhaps we'll have them squealing for peace before we know it. Well now, dearest, I must finish. Still thinking of you and hoping to dream of you tonight. Whatever you say, I still trust you, and whatever happens, I'll never stop loving you. Keep cheerful and write soon. All my love, dear. Yours always. R.
Looking back, the letters seem to have come from quite a different man from the granddad I knew. But the common ground that I can see between the young soldier and the older man lies in the sense of bravery, respectfulness and honesty. I'll always remember my granddad as I knew him in his later years, but these letters are a firm reminder of the experiences that helped to form his character as a young man, and also a reminder that every person goes through a number of different identities through their life, and not just the one that we knew them by.